This is Al Loya with Sounds Around Town. Big Rube's been in bands for many years. Has a lot of experience doing what we're just about to talk about. And today we're going to be talking about holding auditions. I know that there's a lot of you probably listening to this right now that are in the process of holding auditions for your group. And Big Rube's going to give us a lot of tips on how to hold a successful audition. Hey, Big Rube, why don't you tell us how long you've been in the music business?
I've been in the business for 20-plus years.
At what capacity?
Well, in the capacity of playing in a band, playing guitar, being an active member with my group. Also on the business side, you know, helping out getting shows and doing website development and everything, everything that you need to do to be an active participant in a band.
Right. Yeah. Rube, why don't you tell us if you were to give somebody a good tip on how they should handle the audition process, what would be the number one rule if you would give somebody?
Well, in my opinion, the first thing needs to happen is that every member needs to come together and have a band meeting. And in this band meeting, they need to have a discussion and get it out on the table and find out exactly what it is that the band wants. This way everybody has an opportunity to say their piece about what it is that they like and don't like, what they're looking for in a singer, and get it all out, and everybody come to some sort of agreement of what it is that the band is really looking for, and use that as a guide to when you start getting responses to your ads for people to come and audition, that they closely align with what it is the band is looking for.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Because, you cut through a lot of riffraff that way, you know, by actually spelling out exactly what it is that you're looking for. I mean, you don't have to be rude about it, but you can be exact and concise with what it is that you're looking for. And that way you don't waste that person's time and they don't waste your time. That makes a lot of sense, Ruben, and I think that a lot of people can appreciate the information that you just provided, because it really makes a lot of sense and is a time-saving part of the process when you eliminate people right from the get-go, wouldn't you say?
Well, yeah, I think that's clearly, you know, bands got to be able to communicate, got to work together, and this is no different than when you're doing your songs or learning material. But when you're talking about getting someone who's going to represent the group in a singing capacity, definitely want to have everybody in agreement about what it is that we're all in agreement about before they turn the reins over to somebody who's going to be singing.
Yeah, and that would go for anything, a drummer, a guitarist, or a bass player, whatever.
That's right.
You just happen to mention singers. Now, do you have any tips on what to look out for when a person comes in as far as what kind of a vibe that they should have or what you should look out for in an individual who's auditioning for your band?
Well, I can tell you, over 20-plus years, I've seen just about any kind and all kinds of candidates come through. And some of them are upfront and honest about the process, and they're very candid that they're here for a reason. They're interested in being a singer, and they want to contribute and want to get with the program. We've also had situations where you'll have respondents come in and they're chameleons and they say one thing but they really are something else. And then you have those that come in and they're all about control, and before you know it, if you don't have a plan, you wind up auditioning for them. You have those that come in and tell you, well, you know, this is cool, whatever, but this is what I want to do. And so you start getting that I word mentality coming into the equation.
So, yeah, you got to be looking for a team player.
Yeah.
And they have to be a team player.
So you see a lot of weird and unusual, just about everything you can imagine, you'll see it. I remember some years ago we had one person come out to audition for us, and we thought, you know, cool, you know, they're going to come out and audition, and we'll have a great practice and everything. And, you know, before the night was done, you know, we got to see some things that we thought, you know, shouldn't have happened in an audition. But this particular person was very proud of their tattoo, and wasn't at all afraid to show us the handiwork, you know, that her tattoo guy had done for her all across her backside down the entire length of her leg. And before you knew it, poof.
Good
you
know, Lord.
It was. You know?
You saw booty.
So you see
there,
a lot of things. We've even seen a guy who came in who had feathers woven into his hair. You know, just... It just you,
did it
you,
help
you see
out?
It all. I can really appreciate the work that Simon Cowell does because, in a way, that's really what's happening here when you have people come in and want to audition for it. You know, it's you have to go through a process to find out what really is going to work and what's not.
Right. So you and it's not just the music that you're looking for. You're also looking for that person to be able to fit in with the group and actually get along with the members of the band as well, don't you think?
That's right. Chemistry is very important. Got to have a great attitude. Got to have focus. And one of the other key aspects, too, is that they're going to want to be here. They're going to put in the time. They're going to do the work. They're going to come prepared. If I had a dime for every time somebody came in and was not prepared, I wouldn't need to play the lottery. I'd be rich already.
Right. Okay, now that you're mentioning being prepared, okay, so what should a band do in order to get someone prepared before the audition actually begins?
Well, they need to have at least two songs that have already been copywritten, so there's no problem getting those out to these folks to listen to the material they're going to be learning.
And you're talking about an original band then?
In an original band case, that's no biggie. I mean, you should already have your stuff copywritten. If somebody's going to come in and you've already put your ad out and you say you're the original band looking for the original singer, then you have at least two songs that have already been copywritten. You have them on CD or MP3, and you've got a lyric sheet, all of which has been copywritten. So when you give the candidate these items, they are already been documented, so there's no worry about somebody coming
copyright
in and ripping
infringement.
You off.
Yeah.
Now, if it's a cover band, no biggie, because that's already copywritten, and so they can take that and, you know, get it off iTunes or wherever, and they're good to go. Print the lyric sheets off the web, and it's fine.
Yeah, so everybody's on the same page prior to the date of the audition.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense, and I mean, a lot of people wouldn't even think of doing that, so it's a good idea to be prepared and prepare the person in advance so that you do have a good audition on that, you know, on that audition date.
Now, I will say this. There are some out there, even though you will give them songs in either format, MP3 or CD, with lyric sheets and everything, if it's an original band, and they'll show up on practice day, and they will go and do the songs that you've requested them to do. Once that's done, they will turn around and they'll whoop out a CD and says, "Now, I've got these songs I'd like for you to do." And before you know it, you're finding yourself auditioning for them because they brought a CD, and now they want you to play what they're playing, or they want you to listen to that music that's maybe like a karaoke track while they sing. So you have to clearly spell out, look, we're doing a rehearsal, we're doing a practice, we're doing an audition, you're coming out, this is what we're going to do, this is what we expect, no more, no less.
Right, so that way you actually get a good, clear idea of what it is they can do with your music. Now, you don't think it's fair to hear them do something that they've already been doing for a while? As far as, like, say, for instance, they're doing a cover song of, say, for instance, Patsy Cline or whatever it is that they're doing that fits your style of music. I mean, Patsy Cline wouldn't be the style of music that you do, but, I mean, just as an example, I mean,
well,
you wouldn't think that's a good idea.
It's one thing to have somebody come in and whip out a CD and say, look, I'm going to jam to this now, scope me out of what I'm doing here. Because that's not what we're here for. We're focusing on our jams. Now, that being said, that's what's understood when we're doing the audition. Now, they've come in here and they have something they've done previously, a previous work that's captured their performance in order to present some of their ability to sing, maybe their diversity of their range, that's completely acceptable because it's letting you see some depth into what they're about beyond what we're actually doing here in the practice or in the audition. So if they've gone and performed, you know, with the Los Angeles Philharmonic and they've gotten a Grammy or whatever, great, man, well, we need to hear that. But it's already it's previously done work, and that's totally acceptable because it lets you see, you know, some ideas and some areas that they have perhaps gone into or some other areas that they're diverse
right.
in.
Right, and you're saying this so that it's there's a clear focus that this person is auditioning for your group because, and the other aspect you brought up and clearly stated that if you let them take control of the audition, you're kind of now auditioning for them. Isn't that correct?
That's right. And believe it or not, it's very easy to find yourself losing control of an audition. Before you know it, you'll find yourself doing Spanish where Spanish is not even on the table. Or you may find you're doing songs in Russian that's not on the table, or whatever.
Or a country song.
Because
you got
to have control. You got to stay focused. This is what we're doing.
Right.
And believe it or not, there's also one other case, too, that's really unusual. And that is, it doesn't happen all the time, but there are some singers out there who are very good at what they do, will come in and say, you know what? I didn't practice. I didn't rehearse. I really didn't give a damn, whatever. But you know what? Let's give it a whirl. And as a band, you might think, well, you know what? We're wasting our time here. Why are we going to even attempt to try to do anything when this person hasn't even given the effort? Well, let me tell you what. There are some out there, very, very, very few, but there are some out there who have the chops that can really do it on the fly and are that good. But the problem is, what does it say
about their work ethic?
They're not being prepared. They're not doing their homework and stuff. You can't go through life winging it. That's only going to get you so far. And that particular talent is only going to carry you so far.
Right.
Band's a team. It's a unit. It has to work together. And one person freelancing, you know, that aspect of the band is going to mess things up and it won't last. So my recommendation is they may be great, may have a voice like an angel, but in my estimation, you probably would be better off passing on that because it's going to cause problems with the group and cause you perhaps maybe the group to break up or whatever.
Yeah, I can agree with that. And I've seen that happen in many years of being in the music business myself. Now, would you say that one audition with a particular person would be enough? I mean, sometimes I guess you could tell right away, oh, well, this guy's not going to work out or this person's not going to work out. But sometimes you might feel, hey, you know, this guy may have something. Would you consider a second or third audition?
It all depends how the first audition goes. If the first audition goes and there's a vibe, there's an energy, there's a chemistry, there's an attitude, there's a focus, and you clearly see they came prepared, just on some of those aspects, it's enough that they can earn a second shot. Even though they may not have actually memorized all the words, it's not a clear-cut requirement because they can sing off a lyric sheet. Eventually, that'll get itself worked out. But you're really looking at the whole package. It's a lot to take in the first go-round. So a second is very advisable, even perhaps a third, just to take another look at it. So, it just has to be based on what you see in that first audition.
So let me ask you this. You know, with your experience working with people like this, if you find somebody that you feel may be the right candidate and you still have other people that are in the lineup for auditions, do you stop and continue to work with this person, or do you continue taking auditions and working this person in, or what is it that you would do in this type of situation?
Man, that is a question that is different for every band at that particular crossroads, because you could find a person that's a perfect fit. Then the question is, why waste more time?
Right.
Then you can find a person that, you know, it's almost a good fit, so what are the odds we could find something better?
Right.
It's basically a judgment call, I would say, and it depends on the feeling of the band. If they really feel good that this person really has, you know, is hitting all pistons and, you know, we're feeling good about this and we're really, you know, we're really feeling the energy here, then I would say then go with it. And then those folks that were already scheduled to come out, you can contact them and let them know that, you know, that you've encountered somebody who you think is going to work out and that you thank them for their interest and so forth, but also extend the olive branch to say, well, you know, we want to maintain in contact because sometimes it doesn't work out either.
Right.
So you want to be diplomatic and you want to be gratuitous about it because they express an interest, so you'd be professional about it in handling that aspect.
Right. But so let me reiterate my question. If, say, for instance, you found somebody and you think, hey, man, they're pretty good, and it was a first audition, and you have, say, six people lined up ready to come in on different days or maybe a couple in that same day, I mean, do you continue to see who's coming or do you decide to...
Well, no, if it's a first go-around, yeah, you're going to continue to do your business.
Yeah, and then try to work in that person that you liked and see...
Yeah, because if your first audition, you know, you got great chemistry, really no decision is going to get made until maybe the second or third time. Most likely the third time.
Right.
But yeah, if you got somebody that comes in and you got like four people coming in one day, first person blows you away, you're thinking, man, this is it. This is the one we want. You need to see the other ones too, because that's going to clear your mind, and you want to also accord those folks a chance to come out and do their thing.
Right. Okay. Now that you say that, would you recommend that a band or a group audition, make a recording of the audition process?
If you can do it, do it.
And why would you ask them to do that?
Because when you're playing in a live environment, there's a lot of things going on, so you're really not going to have an opportunity to critically listen to the vocals until later. You come back 2 days, 3 days later, you're fresh, your mind's uncluttered, you hear what the impact of the vocals of the person who came into audition is with the music you guys performed, and take a look at it, and you can really hear if this is something that's going to work or not. But while you're doing it, man, it's not even, you know, it's a lot going on, and you don't hear anything worth it.
Yeah, a lot of times your ears are lying to you, yeah, because you're looking for that person, you're hoping for that person, and you're basically lying to yourself in a way sometimes too,
yeah,
hoping that this is it.
You're going to hear a lot of false positives here.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you. Now, in your many years of experience, how long do you think this process could take? I mean, how much time do you think you could actually take to get this process over and done with?
Well, it all depends on the band, but really there's no time limit. Because ultimately, if you're looking for the best fit, it could take a year, 18 months, could take 1 week.
Right.
It's not set in stone.
Okay, so in the process of looking for someone, what would you recommend a band or a group do in order to keep their self moving forward as opposed to stagnating?
Well, they continue to rehearse. They continue to keep their chops, to stay fluid, because if a singer is going to come out and audition, last thing you want to do is basically let them know that you suck, because you're going to be playing live. They want to know that if they're going to make the effort to come out and sing with you, they got to feel that, man, you're happening, you're totally kicking ass. Because if you come out and you suck, why am I even here?
Right.
So I got to know that you guys got mojo. Otherwise, we got nothing to talk about.
Exactly.
You know?
Right. So in essence, you are auditioning for them as well, because
yes,
you got to be able to put up or shut up. That's in other words, what you're saying. Yeah.
Now, of course, if she comes out, you know, it's this girl singer, and she's like Miss October, you know, maybe we might talk something there, because we've had that situation come down where.
But that only goes so far, too.
Though. Yeah, no, but the problem is that, you know, it affects my playing.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But some people start to drool, and you know, that can cause a fire. So, you know, that could be dangerous, or get into that she's so pretty type thing and lose that focus.
Well, you know,
focus.
That's another thing, too. There are some out here who want to hedge their bet, so they'll dress the part to a T, and they'll come out really like they could be in a porn movie, I mean, with the whole outfit and everything, and you're just thinking like, oh, my God, what are you not? You shouldn't be here singing. You should be in Hollywood cutting a flick. But the thing is, they're trying to hedge their bet because they're figuring, well, if I suck on singing or I'm not that great, at least my looks is going to help me get in the band anyway.
Right, and I know for a fact that there's been somebody come in into your situation and actually say something like that to you, right?
Several, actually.
Give us an example.
We won't mention any names, okay, to protect the innocent, of course.
Right. But give an example of something that happened like that.
Well, you know, In a situation where we're rehearsing and so forth, we don't make policy to everybody, you know, dress up like kids, you know, in full stage regalia, because there's no point in it. We dress comfortably because we work comfortably, because we're here focused on the music, not because I'm all dressed up like Gene Simmons.
Right.
However, you know, there are some people that's a big issue, and when they want to rehearse, they want everybody dressed up like Kiss. So, to me, that's really neither here nor there. It's all about the music. Don't worry about this, because that will take care of itself when
right,
the time comes.
Right. Because, I mean, you'll start looking at this as a job if you start wanting to impose those type of rules on
yeah,
people.
I mean, nobody dresses like that, man. I mean, unless you're ready, you know, Major League, you're ready to go on a big tour.
Yeah. Okay, I was looking for one of those funny stories where you tell me that some chick, you know, is coming on to one of the guys in the band to try to, you know, work her way in or something. And I know that's happened. I know that for a fact. I mean, you know.
Well, I will say that there are some in the past, you know, that have come in and, you know, we take a break, whatever, and they'll sit down in their chair or sit down in the speaker box, whatever, and they'll sit a certain way in order to show off some particular part of their body, and, you know, kind of like, okay, yeah, you know, that's cool, whatever, you know, and I hope you saw that, because, you know, I really want to be in the band, and, you know, it's cool, but, you know, and all this kind of stuff. I mean, that's always a potential, and it does happen very frequently.
And for all those youngsters out there that would fall for this kind of thing, what's your advice?
Don't fall for it. I mean, you're here to do the music. You want to go see chicks, go to the men's club, go to the club, whatever, go to online porn, whatever. But, you know, and when you get up on stage, man, it's you, the jams, and the people. And if you don't have it together, you know.
Because, I mean, just looking at someone is not going to cut it.
No, man. I mean, you've got to spend the time to really get it all together to see if this is going to really work. Because the person up there singing is really representing the group, that people are focused on that person. You know, they're trying to sell the song to the audience, make them to buy into it, get their,
right,
you know, get that connection going. And if you're just
so you don't think you can hide that with a voice, you know, a voice box or some kind of effect, or you're not willing to sell out to that?
No, man, don't.
I mean, you know, be a Britney Spears. I mean, just because, you know, you have some body and you're young and,
you know,
blonde,
I got
and
nothing
can dance
against Britney Spears
like
or all these other acts, but, you know, you really should put the effort in and sing for real.
Yeah. And don't hide behind and a little
I mean, I could go out of my backyard and get a cricket, record the cricket, sample the cricket, and probably win a Grammy, man, because best new artist. You know, I mean, that's where we are right now.
Yeah, I hear you.
You know?
Yeah.
We want to hear the real deal, man.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you mean. You sound like a keyboard there when you're singing and stuff. But, yeah, dude, I mean, I think that you've given a lot of great information to provide to young artists that are trying to make it in this business.
There is one other thing, man.
Yeah, what's that?
No band members need to be dating nobody in the band.
Oh, and why is that?
Because that shit don't work. You want a surefire way to destroy your band? You just get two people to start dating in the band, and it's over. And I know that sounds really bogus, but
I'm
let
rude,
me tell
man.
You, man, it's extremely rare that situation is ever going to work out. And I'll tell you why. Because when you get two people in a band that are in a relationship or in that kind of situation, it's going to cause problems. Because other band members are going to want to say things that are pertaining to the band, to the music, and so forth, but they're going to hold back. And they can only hold back so much because they're out of respect for the situation and the relationship. Now, the problem is that because of holding back, it's affecting the group, it's affecting the performance, it's affecting the music and everything. And what's going to happen is that it's going to reach critical mass. It's going to be a big fight. And
critical
when there's a big
mass.
Fight, it's going to end up badly.
Yeah.
So, really, there should never be any dating within a band.
Right.
You know?
And we can give you an example. I mean, Stevie Nicks.
Now I will say this. Okay,
Mac, yeah.
Somebody's gonna say, "Well, what about if it's a husband and wife?" Well, yeah, okay, it's a husband and wife. I can dig it too, but that also brings us problems because they could have a tiff, and if they have a tiff, you guys are gonna feel it, and then it's gonna be like, "Well, we can't say shit because they had a tiff, and I don't want to offend this or I don't want to offend that." And it's the same situation, and you still run the risk of the band getting disrupted.
Right, and you should run your band as a business.
Exactly, because, you know, part of it is putting out a product. You want to play great music, you know, and all that. You know, be professional, handle your business, and all that good stuff.
Right, have fun, and of course, that's one of the main objectives. But you should run it as a business because, I mean, time is money. And, you know, rehearsing and equipment and... you know, paying rent at a location that you may be having to rent in order to play your music, it's money out of your pocket.
That's right.
I mean, so, you know, you should try to be as effective as possible when you are in this business because you're losing money if you're not.
Yeah, it's work, it's commitment, and it's sacrifice, big time sacrifice. But you know, that's what separates
the men from the
people
boys.
Who really are really wanting to do it, and those are just. Once they realize it's work, they say, you know what, man, I don't want to do this because it's just too much for me. And that's cool, you know. But it is work, you know. It's a labor of passion, and people who want to do music, you know, accept that. And, you know, it's part of it.
Yeah. I just popped a Coke. And now I have a smile on my face. Thank you so much, son. I really dig what you've been saying, and I'm sure that a lot of people out there have been listening to this podcast and saying, hey, man, this guy makes a lot of sense. These dudes are providing us with some pretty good information. Let me tell you, I mean, we've been doing this for a long time, and it's a painful process sometimes, wouldn't you say, Rube?
It is a very painful process. It's a very arduous process. But on the other hand, you know, if you do a show, you know, and, you know, after the show, you can go hang out, you know, and you're visiting with people, whatever, you know, a lot of times, you know, if you play your cards right, you know, you get sucked off, you know, and whatever, you know.
I mean, a bonus.
It's all cool. I mean, you know how it is.
Yeah,
crazy
man.
Things happen. I mean, we did a show, and girl was flashing her jubbies at you, man. I mean, come on. She has a massive headlights. I mean,
had those
high beams on, dude.
That happens, man. I mean, you get chicks with stickies and writing their number and slapping on your chest and stuff.
I mean, I have a friend of mine who plays drums, and he's got stories, man, that would just make your hair stand up. Crazy thing to happen on stage.
Yeah, that's true. But, again, you've been listening to Sounds Around Town, and I hope that this podcast has informed you in some way and provided some good information for you so that you can have a great audition. Until next time, this is Al Loya, and we must thank Big Rube for being here with us at Sounds Around Town. I hope that the information provided to you today was both educational and inspiring. So there you have it, people.
Bye. Hasta la vista, baby.
This concludes In the Jar Studios
Sounds Around Town.
If you have any comments about this particular podcast or have suggestions for a future podcast, please drop us a line. Our email address is srtmail@earthlink.net.